Yeah, he's a clown.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
We get it. We are ready.
What up, America? We here to lollygag. We here to talk some sports.
Yes, sir. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. America, welcome. Gentlemen, this year is flying by. We officially are in the month of November, November the 1st. On Tuesday, right. You are officially talking sports with the 12th man. We are ready to rip and roll. We are not going to lose our lead. We're going to keep this momentum going. I am your host, Andre, joined by my fellow co-host. Let's check in with the fellas. First and foremost, Mr. JQ. How you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm getting over that crazy time in London. And thankfully, I don't have to worry about the Bengals this weekend to stay on by. So I breathe a little easier, but got a big one on Saturday night against Nebraska. So not breathing too easy, but a little easier.
How did it feel watching football at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning?
Man, that was driving me crazy. And the way they was playing that game, I was like, this is too early in the morning to be angry on Sunday.
JQ, drink it like
9
o'clock in the morning.
I was in Hawaii once on a Sunday morning during football season, and the games kick off at 7 a.m. in Hawaii. So to our friends in Hawaii, they wake up early to watch football on Sunday morning.
That's dedication, Holmes.
I was just messing with JQ if you're not a big drinker or anything like that, bro. I was just saying, man, that's just one of those things, man. If you're
we know he's luck, like, but, you know, we're not going to go too far into it.
All right. There's so many amendments in the Constitution. I plead the fifth.
He's not even denying it.
Oh, man. And it's Dave Chappelle voice.
Yeah. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I can't. I can't deny it. Let's move on.
Oh, man. That other baritone voice that you hear is the voice of Mr. Robert Ford. I'm sure he's going to tell us what he's eating as well. Robert Ford, how you feel this evening, sir?
Oh, yeah. You got to have my weekly report on what's for dinner, right? Hey, you know, when in Rome, you do what the Romans do. When in Houston, you eat Mexican food. So that's what it was for me tonight. But doing great. Ready to talk some sports tonight. Let's get it going.
I love it. Let's get this party started. Once again, if you want to call in the show, that number is always 424-243-9519. We're on Twitter. If you go to the number, obviously the @ at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, if you go to facebook.com/talkingsports with 12th man, or if you type in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, let's kick it off with a quick, interesting World Series update. I was going to actually come out, gentlemen, and say that, you know, the Cubs are acting like at first they were just happy to be here in the World Series, that is. And they've actually pulled out some nicer wins. And, you know, obviously, boy, Russell comes through with a huge – Addison Russell comes with a huge grand slam. The youngest since Mickey Mantle do that. And it looks like the Cubs are having some – showing some life here. And Jake Arrieta's doing pitching well. And now 7-2 right now. So I guess starting off with you, JQ, your thoughts about the game, and I know it's not quite over yet, but this is pretty interesting how this World Series has turned, and I'm sure Rob has got some things to talk about too, but let's kick it off with DJQ and your thoughts on the World Series update, sir.
Yeah, it's whenever they don't face Kluber, you know, they've got a chance, and you hit on it with Russell with a huge, huge grand slam, but I know Joe Maddon is a little upset with his Cubs team, and I know it's hard to say that when they score 7 runs, but they've had a chance to add on some runs and get a little bit more breathing room. I know he didn't want to bring Chapman in tonight. Then Chapman, it looks like he jammed his knee a little bit in the bottom of that inning. So it's going to be real interesting to see how long he keeps Chapman in and if Chapman is healthy, because he wants to have him available for tomorrow night for sure. So that little piece of intrigue is very interesting to me. How long does he keep him in the game? How healthy is he? And would he dare go back to the well tomorrow if need be, considering that the other day, that's the longest he's ever thrown is 2 2/3 innings. He's back tonight. If you're talking about him closing out tonight, that'd be another 2 1/3. I'm not quite sure if you can have him available tomorrow. So I'm loving the chess match between Francona and Madden. It's been an awesome World Series. Baseball couldn't have asked for anything else.
Your thoughts, Rob?
Well, I think both of you covered it pretty well, or pretty much see it kind of the same way. But that home run, I tell you what, Addison Russell, he pretty much crushed Cleveland's soul in this game pretty early in this matchup, jumping out to a 7-0 lead. And, I mean, we're getting ready to go to the bottom of the eighth inning with a 7-2 lead. I think, I mean, it's not officially over, but I think Chicago obviously holds on, and we get a very interesting Game 7 tomorrow. Who's going to break their curse of winning the World Series? So I think it's going to be fun to watch tomorrow night.
Yeah, and to your point, Andre, if Cleveland loses this, they should be mad at LeBron because he's been tempting fate with all this 3-1 talk, messing with the Warriors, man. He's messing with the Warriors every chance he gets about them coming back from 3-1. It would be quite ironic if Cleveland was up 3-1 in the series, which they were, and they lost it, given what he's been doing in Golden State. You know, Turnabout's fair play. So I'm like,
we just talked about that prior to going on the air. How intriguing would that be? Cleveland, the Cavs came from 3-1 down to beat the Warriors. And what if the Cubs come back and return a favor on the Cleveland's baseball team? I'm sure, you know, Cleveland doesn't want to hear that right now, but that would be quite interesting that happens.
Gentlemen, did you hear that fact or did you hear that stat about the NFL 2 penalty that tied? Did you hear about that fact, guys? I don't know if you heard that.
What was that?
It was on the broadcast, too. There was an interesting stat that said that the last time that two teams were tied in the NFL is also the same year whenever Cleveland played the Marlins, and they lost Game 7 in 1997
wow.
to the Marlins. So once
wow.
again this season,
wow.
what happened? Two NFL teams tied. So it's a kind of interesting thing right now. Obviously, we still have another game and two games to play, so – just an interesting fact
wow.
that somebody brought up. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see if it plays out, man. So, just very,
funny
very interesting.
Thing is, in the NFL, it was almost two ties on Sunday.
The
Raiders
yeah.
and the Bucks
yeah.
almost ended a tie. But, you know, Raiders, of course, got a big-time touchdown to win that game in OT. But I was like, wow. I mean, how strange is that? I mean, you might see a tie a year or one tie every other year. And to get them in back-to-back weeks and almost having two in the same week was incredible.
Crazy. Yeah.
Gross.
But anyway, just a little quick note, and like I said, too, to piggyback on what you said, JQ, like I said, I do give Madden credit, but I'm not quite sure about bringing in Chapman in right now. Maybe he's trying to, you know, maybe pitch him one or two innings, maybe one and a half innings or just kind of keep him, you know, loose. It could gamble, could be a good gamble, could be one of those gambles where, you know, obviously – you know, like I said, it looks like he's pitching okay right now, too. But we will see what's happening right now, you know, because if this is going to be a good move or not, man. But right now, he is zeroed in. And, you know, if I'm not calling this, you know, I'm not making time money, too. I'd probably pitch him one more, leave him, you know, have the next guy come in to close, have the game, and have him fresh for tomorrow. So that's my 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And let's keep moving.
I agree with
that. Guys, let's talk about some NFL predictions here. Two pretty good games here. We've got the Eagles at the Giants, and I thought I was going to, like, talk some junk, man, saying that calling the Eagles to pull up the upside of Dallas, but Dallas just was able to pull it out. I was looking pretty good, man, until that happened, man. But anyway, let's talk about – this is a pretty interesting game, and I'm going to kick it off with you, Rob, in that, you know, Carson Wentz, he's still playing pretty well right now, and right now – he's going against an interesting Giants team, too, that could be kind of Jekyll and Hyde. So what's your thoughts about this particular game, sir?
I like the Eagles on the road in this game, believe it or not. I mean, obviously the Giants are at home in this matchup, but just as you mentioned, they've been very Jekyll and Hyde this season. And I don't have that much faith in them. Even though they made all these big-time free agent signings this offseason, I don't think we've seen a big improvement from their defense, a little improvement. I mean, they're not as bad as they were last season, but I don't have that much confidence in them. I'm going with the Eagles on the road.
Wow, good call, good call. Your thoughts, JQ?
I agree, and I think it's that Philadelphia defensive line led by Fletcher Cox. And, you know, if you can get in Eli's face, you can get him rattled, and he'll give you some balls. And I think it's a low-scoring game, something like a 17-14 kind of game. But I think the Eagles do enough. I think they've proven for the most part they're pretty much for real. And, again, to everything you said, you don't know who's going to show up for the Giants. And if you can get pressure with that front four from that Philadelphia defensive line and get in Eli's face and get him rattled, he's prone to throw some bad passes in there, and you can pick him up a couple of times. You can take that crowd out of it. I like the Eagles as well in a close game on the road.
Surprisingly, I agree with you guys, man, because I'm not going to try to go. But, yeah, shout out to you, Richmond, too. I'm showing you some love for your Eagles. All right, gentlemen, let's keep moving here. Another very intriguing game. And a lot of props to the Raiders. You know, I know they were going through a lot of things, gentlemen, as far as the move. Yeah, the move to Las Vegas. A lot of things happening with the Raiders right now, but they're winning. Derek Carr, man, being incredible, throwing, 513 yards this past week, an incredible game versus the Buccaneers in overtime here. What do you think about this particular game? They're going against a pretty tough team in the Broncos. Here, the Broncos are on their little high as well. This is actually going to be a pretty intriguing matchup. Once again, your thoughts on this, JQ?
I'm going 2-for-2 with the road teams. Because the thing about it is that going against that no-fly zone against that Broncos secondary, which is just elite, and that gives them a great chance to slow down Derek Carr. The problem with the Raiders is that they just don't run the ball well enough for me quite yet. And that's how you're going to have to kind of beat the Broncos is running the ball. And I don't know if they can do that well enough yet to do that. I think Trevor Siemian makes just enough plays. And that Raiders defense, while improved, is still not shut down. Like you said, they win the overtime against the Tampa Bay team. That's good but not great. I think Denver finds a way to win that game and show who's still the boss in the AFC West. I'm gonna go with the Broncos.
This is a good matchup too, and I'm gonna kind of interject before I let Rob answer because you know there's a couple of dynamics here that we talked about. You know, JQ, we can bring it up. You know, the fact that you know Cooper had his one of his better games. Is Cooper gonna line up versus is Tlaib gonna line up on him or Crabtree? Crabtree's surprisingly doing well. Khalil Mack, you like that young defense, and they have a lot of confidence right now too. So this could be a top opportunity for the Raiders to make a play because I still think the Broncos have some chinks in the armor. So, Rob, what are your predictions on this particular game, sir?
I think the Raiders pull off this one at home in a really close football game. I mean, Derek Carr, I was going back to – I can't remember what year he was drafted, but going back to that draft – I mean, you can make a case that he's turning out to be the best quarterback in that draft. I mean, Johnny Manziel was picked ahead of him. Teddy Bridgewater was picked ahead of him in that draft. And I think his older brother caused him to fall to the second round. And Carr is turning out to be a stud of a quarterback. And his older brother cost a little money in his first in the draft. But I like the Raiders in this game. I think this is old-school Broncos versus Raiders when they both were in the heyday here. And I like the Raiders by a field goal at home. Even though they haven't been that great at home, they undefeated on the road this year, 5-0. But I think they'll pull this one out.
I do like the Raiders too, Rob. I agree with that, man. I just think it's going to be interesting because, you know, I think the Raiders have a lot of confidence right about now too, so maybe they're ready for that. But, you know, they still got to knock out Big Brother, obviously, so we'll see how that plays out. For sure. All right, guys, we got about you know kind of halfway point in the show here. We're still kicking it on. We're still going to keep it in the NFL, and you know, interesting topic about the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys? And I can't wait to hear your thoughts about this. I'm going to start off with Rod, and I guess the question is, do the Cowboys need Tony Romo? And I guess not sure if you added it, Rob, this season, or if you're kind of like saying something about this, but. The Cowboys need Tony Romo this season, sir. Question. Go ahead.
Well, I think the Cowgirls definitely need Tony Romo. Not so much to start, but I think, you know, I think he would definitely be helpful to still be a part of the organization or be there as a backup just in case something happens to Prescott. I mean, I'm still going on record as saying I think Tony Romo needs to retire soon. Those back and neck injuries are nothing to play with, and they seem to be reoccurring on a yearly basis for Tony Romo. But if you look at that game that night, obviously Dallas won the game, but Dak Prescott, this was probably his worst performance as a starting quarterback. I mean, he was 4-11, yep. 4-11, throwing the football in the fourth quarter. Obviously, what an incredible play for them to win that game, that spin move he put on. To get that touchdown pass to Jason Witten was incredible for them to win. I think, obviously, I would not bench Prescott, but I think just having Tony Romo available just in case. But I still say after this season, he needs to go ahead and hang it up.
Wow. Pretty bold prediction from Rob Ford. Send your emails to Rob Ford now. JQ, your thoughts, man.
Yeah, and cowgirl. And I agree. Still taking all shots. But I agree with the fact that they don't need him on the field. They need him for that veteran sideline presence to give Dak to see, you know, what did you see, what did I see, and give him that. But you can't take Dak out. And Jerry, for once, got it right when he said that there's a certain chemistry going on with this team. And I'm not going to hold too much against him because Schwartz has got that Philadelphia defense playing phenomenally right now. And I talked about that before with them going on the road to beat the Giants. So I'm not going to hold too much of that against him. He played a really good defense, and they just limited him, but he still found a way to win, and that's what good quarterbacks do. Even when you don't have your best, even when you play a good defense, you find a way to win. He found a way to win. I think that they need him, you know, just to give a little guidance. And then I really do think that there's going to be a team, I'm looking at you, Denver, that's going to say, hey, you know, we got a young Lynch, we got a young Simeon, but we're ready to win right now again. And can we swing Romo in the offseason, give him a full offseason in our offense, and with those wide receivers, with Sanders and Thomas, to give us that veteran leadership? I mean, he may not make it the whole season, but you also got the two young pups who've got some playing time this year, so they won't be thrown into the water cold. But I think somebody is going to take a swing at it, and to me, they're the most logical trade partner. But I don't think he's going to hang it up in the offseason. I think he's going to try to find a way. It's one of those Joe Montana in the Kansas City things, you know, where Joe Montana was really, really, really beat up too, and people wanted him to hang it up. And he got a couple good more seasons out of Kansas City. So I think we may be seeing that coming again here in Tony Romo.
Is there a quarterback controversy in Dallas? If Romo comes back healthy, does he play over Dak Prescott is the question, Rob.
I mean, I wouldn't bench Brett. I mean, your team is 6-1. That rookie combination of Prescott and Zeke Elliott is, you know, it's shocking the league, number one. And so, I mean, Zeke Elliott, you got to put him in the MVP conversation, in my opinion,
wow.
Even as a rookie. I'm not saying he's MVP,
okay.
But he should definitely be in that top five conversation. I would not mess up this chemistry, as Jerry Jones has mentioned. I would not bench Dak Prescott for Tony Romo. Like I said, it's not even Tony Romo could easily get hurt again his first game back. So I would definitely not bench Dak Prescott.
Your question?
No, agreed. You don't. If it ain't broke, you don't fix it. They're 6-1, and they're getting Dez Bryant back healthy again. So let's not forget about that piece of it, right? So you got your triplets pretty much. So for me, I don't mess with that. The continuity they have happening right now, you keep letting it roll. Unless Dak hits a 3-game stretch where he just looks overmatched and he hits the rookie wall, I can't see where you go to Tony Romo. I think what we talked about before, you let him give him that veteran advice and let Tony. And for Tony, he may be thinking long term ahead, and not long term, but for next year, like just let me go ahead and get fully healthy. Clearly, this guy's going to probably be the guy. So let me go somewhere. You know, it happens. Joe Montana, Peyton Manning. You know. You feel like they're going to play for one team, but then they don't. So I think that's really what's going to happen with Tony Romo. I think he sees the writing on the wall as well.
Yeah. And that offensive line in Dallas, they can get the job done with Prescott and Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
And as JQ mentioned, Dez Bryant, he had a good game the other night too. Jason Witten still making a few plays here and there. They can get by with this team going forward. And you can easily make a case that they're playing as good as any team in the league in the NFC, in the NFC that is.
Mm-hmm. Shout out
Cubs adding on
word.
2-run homer here and make it 9-2.
Yeah, it's over, man. Yeah. Anyway, yes. All right, so shout out to Word Man Word, my boy Leonard. He is a huge Cowboys fan. So
Cowgirls.
I point blank asked him this question. I was like, if Tony Romo comes back, do you start him or do you leave Dak Prescott? And I'm not saying that he's, you know, whatever. He pretty much said he needed to go to Tony Romo, which I was shocked. I was like, what?
Wow.
You know, and just like that in a high voice too. Because, you know, he was saying that, you know, everyone said this is Romo's team. And he did say, based upon the play, and maybe it was a little like you said, JQ, that, you know, he played against a good defense, Prescott, that is, and that, you know, he wasn't impressed with his play against, you know, against the Eagles. And he was also talking about the fact, and what you said, Rob, that Romo's been injured. He hasn't fully had a chance to play with Ezekiel Elliott. He hasn't had a chance to really get chemistry with Dez Bryant, because whenever he plays, Dez has been injured, so they haven't really developed enough chemistry. And he also said that he thinks that Witten plays a lot better with Romo. So there's some plays that Romo has under his belt that Dak Prescott does not, which I thought was pretty interesting. I brought up the fact that I can't trust Romo in the playoffs, and the fact that he's, you know, clearly made some serious bonehead decisions. And Dak Prescott hasn't. Surprisingly, he's been more poised right now. But he was like, you know, it's Romo's team, and Prescott has said that, and he still thinks that Romo should be the starter, which is very surprising to me, to say the least. And you made some comments, Rob, about Jerry Jones and the chemistry, and he said that Jerry Jones is like creating controversy because it's America's team, and he wants to keep folks watching and keep them on the edge of their seats. So what would your response be to that? It looks kind of long-winded. But is Leonard a little off, man, or what? Man, I thought it was interesting to hear his arguments that he still thinks that Tony Romo is still better than, because he's got more experience and he's worried about, you know, Prescott later on. They're going to try to figure him out and maybe shut him down. So that's kind of his – I think that's kind of the route that he took. And that's me trying to, like, you know, kind of paraphrase that. But, yeah, your thoughts, man.
Well, my first thoughts would be cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Oh, don't do that to him.
I mean, come on. I mean, stay off that stuff, man. Come on. I mean, the jury's still out of Dak Prescott's going to have a better career than Tony Romo. But at this point in time, the Cowgirls are better off with Dak Prescott at the quarterback position. I mean, why mess up a good thing? I mean, why mess up your chemistry when you're 6-1? I mean, go back to the year 2001 when Drew Bledsoe got hurt as quarterback of the Patriots. Tom Brady comes in, and, man, he's just lighting the world on fire. I mean, nobody never heard of Tom Brady anymore. I mean, it was a sixth-round draft pick. Who is this kid? They're winning football games. The chemistry is great. Bill Belichick makes the smart decision and sticks with Brady going forward. You don't mess up team chemistry when you're winning football games like that. And, I think you just got to stick with Prescott, in my opinion, if you're the Cowgirls.
Mm. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to put on that fire. That's just – I'm sorry. Sometimes you're too close to the situation to see it for what it really is. There's a change in the guard happening in Dallas. And the thing is, will Dallas let that change of the guard happen gracefully, or will they mess it up and then realize they messed it up? If you had told him that when Tony Romo went down, they'd be 6-1 at this point at the season – he would have just jumped for joy. But then you want to turn around and take him out for a Romo who hasn't played all year and doesn't have any chemistry with anybody at this point? Nah, I can't see that happening. You got to stick with Dak Prescott until Dak just throws up on himself, for a better, you know, lack of a better term. But outside of that, it's Dak's team. They were being respectful to Tony Romo to say it was his team while Dak was still trying to show and prove. But once you get to 6-1, you've shown and proved. And I just don't know what else to say about it. He's got to be the quarterback going forward.
That's crazy. Anyway, all right. Like I said, sorry, Leonardo. We're not trying to talk you out, man. Call you out, man. Think cocaine is a hell of a drug, man. That's pretty funny. But appreciate that, guys. And that's a lot of Cowboys talk for Talking Sports 12, man. We gave you guys a lot.
Forever.
Right,
no, our ratings should be high. Ah. Big D tonight.
There it is. Showed you guys some love. Everyone's going to get some call in. This is an interesting story here. Nile Davis gets cut by the Jets moments after signing him. Then they signed C.J. Spiller. What's up with that, Rob? Come on, bro.
Well, I mean, man, how you sign a guy like 1 hour and the next hour you cutting him? C.J. Spiller, of course, is becoming a journeyman. In one season, he's been with the Saints and Seahawks, and now the Jets are giving him an opportunity. Obviously, you know, when C.J. Spiller was healthy a few years back, I mean, he was a home run threat. You know, obviously the Jets are trying to see if they can rekindle that a little bit. But now Davis, man, I tell you, I mean, a couple of years ago he was running kickoffs back for the Chiefs, and he gets signed today for 1 hour and gets cut.
Damn. Yeah.
And even outside of that, getting traded to the Packers and not even making it a couple games, it's time to get that backup profession going for Niles Davis. I don't know if he's like in the real estate or, you know, like software development, you know, if he like, you know, like whatever his backup game plan was, it's time to go ahead and get that thing in full motion.
because
I think it's a wrap for him. I'm just saying, you know, you get traded for.
His name is Jaquan Jenkins now, David.
I'm just saying. You get traded for, you make it to like three games. You get cut, then you get signed for like 35 minutes, and then you get cut. Yeah, bro, it's whenever they see it on film, you are not that dude anymore. It's time to go ahead and get that Jamba Juice company together, whatever you got going.
Get that franchise.
Jimmy John chains.
Oh, man. Hey, Rob, JQ, apparently Niles Davis is looking for a new agent. I don't know if you guys are interested, man, so keep that in mind, man. Oh, man. That's hilarious. I didn't realize C.J. Spiller got cut, man. What happened with him in the Seahawks? When he was there, then I guess he's gone. I didn't realize it happened, man. That's crazy, too, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got him about a week or so ago.
That's crazy. All right, keep an eye on that. All right, 3 minutes here, guys. Let's talk about this. Yeah, ProStock got him. Yeah, same thing. Good call, JQ. Mm-hmm. All right, Rob, MVP of the NFL after week 8 so far, sir.
I mean, y'all might think I'm crazy for saying this. He missed the first 4 games of the season. Maybe I'm just projecting ahead.
Uh-uh.
But Tom Brady is the MVP and will be the MVP of this season.
Yep,
JQ.
I was going to say that.
He's taking names, and he's just lighting up the league. Mm-hmm. He's just lighting up everyone. I mean, he's... I think he wants to put it to Hitler's face.
Roger Goodell. Yeah, he's got a picture of Goodell. Like each time, it's like the Cleveland Indians, like the picture. He's like, yeah, Goodell, I got you. He's waiting for him to
get
his hand, man.
You talk about being on pace to throw for like 35 touchdowns and 4,000 yards in 12 games, and they're going to have the best record in the AFC. Go ahead and ship it. I'm with you. I think it's Tom Brady.
Gotcha. All right, I was going to go really quickly about these best and worst teams here really quickly. But, Rob, we got about 2 minutes and 35 seconds. Do you think you can do the fantasy shout-outs and get ready to wrap up the OT portion, sir?
All right, fantasy shout-outs. League number one. Let's see, the biggest win of the week, the phenomenal one, from Chris from Orlando, 159.70 over Lions King, 109.68. Andre, how you going to pay for that fine?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash, homie. My co-host Andre is in first place in that league with a 7-1 record. League number two, my other co-host, Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 112-53.80 over the Black and Gold Patrol. Willie from El Paso, Texas, EP Diablos in first place with a 7-1 record. In league number three, Unger's Crew, Matthew from Indianapolis, had the biggest win of the week, 171.38. To L's Coholics, 72.20. My other co-host, the Ohio Players, 8-0, undefeated in first place. Jaquan in first place with an 8-0 record. And first week of fantasy basketball, yours truly, my team, the Orleans Buck Jumpers, 8-0. Swept every category over to Madison on Madhouse, and I'm sitting in first place so far after week one in fantasy basketball. Those are our fantasy shout-outs. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we can't give you this portion live. We can click on the same link on tomorrow while you're taking your lunch break or what have you. And we got more sports to talk about. We got NFL. We got college football that's going to be on the OT portion. So click on the same link on tomorrow. You'll get our college football coverage, college playoff reviews, et cetera. This weekend's big games. You don't want to miss it. So definitely click on the same link on tomorrow, and we'll get that OT portion to you. Next week, we'll be back on live Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central for our friends in Hollywood. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Don't miss the show on next week as well. Good night, people.
Shout out
to
Eagles Chick Fil A for beating me too. Yeah, that's good too. So yeah, shout out Eagles Chick for life. Shout out to Eagles Chick. I know you were happy that you beat me because I was 7-1, and I just feel bad because I didn't put my player in. I switched it out in the last moment, so you got lucky with that one. So anyway,
man, you lost to a girl, man.
She's winning, man. She's winning. What can you say, man? You know. She actually texted me too. She was like, "Yo, glad she's from undefeated." I'm like, "Hey, you know, you better be glad I didn't switch my player out, man." So he has to hold a conversation.
I saw that post
it's all
you
good.
Put on.
It's all good.
I did.
Yeah, man,
Eagles chick. We're just showing you some love, Eagles chick. She's an Eagles fan living in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, the only thing I got to say to her is once again, you know, I'll see you in the playoffs, and we'll see how that turns out. But carry on. Sorry. man, we're since we took so long on that little outro, we are already in the OT portion. So sorry, JQ, I didn't mean to steal all your thunder, bro. But I will say, in essence, too, you know, the fantasy shoutouts. To notice that Rob finally gets his winning in another league, man. Totally different.
Oh yeah,
that's what we're gonna let that.
I'm still in first place in another fantasy football league, but you know, I still gotta get up to par in my other one.
You knew he was going to get that in. I knew that was coming.
Oh, yeah. If y'all can talk trash, I'm going to follow it up.
We're not talking trash. We're just, like, making a point, man. It's a fact, man.
Hashtag fact.
All good. Oh man. But yeah, congrats, bro. Number one, and that's pretty good in basketball. You seem to dominate basketball, man. I gotta figure out what the frick I'm doing, man, because every time I try to figure out some stuff, I don't know. It's all good, but I'll figure that out. All right. Let's talk about this. JQ, do you want to say anything else? Man, I totally mean to, like, cut you off, man, at the end of the show, sir.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just going to tell the folks, you know, we got the election coverage for them, too. But, you know, oh, my goodness, that's destroyed.
Oh, yeah, next Tuesday night, people, will definitely have that election coverage for you.
Yes, sir.
We'll add that in.
Let's see here. All right, so let's see here. We talked about the NFL, the MVP. Everyone's in agreement that Tom Brady's out on a mission to get Hitler, as Rob said, and to have him shake his hand, which is probably the most seething thing he can do. So, yeah, Tom Brady's going to make that happen. But let's talk about the best team in the NFL after Week 8. And, Rob, go ahead and kick us off too as well, sir.
Well, let's stick with the New England Patriots. They're 7-1. And the thing about it is that the Patriots are forcing teams to get behind by large margins and to be one-dimensional with throwing the football around and be playing right into the Patriots' hands. They just got a machine going right now. They're going to be tough to beat. Offensively, they're going to score a lot of points. And like I said, they're causing their opponents to be one-dimensional, forcing them to throw the football, getting behind by big margins early. And most teams, unless you have a legitimate quarterback, most teams in the league can't compete with that.
Robert Kraft is going to send you his check, man, apparently. But what about your thoughts, JQ?
I mean, it is what it is. You can't really argue with it. Who would you even put over above them right now as the best team in the NFL? I think those two are probably the easiest two to come up with, because it's got to be New England. You know, what they're doing right now, the first four games, and then Tom Brady on his revenge tour. You know, he's on the war tour like Tribe Called Quest. He's just out there killing folks. There's nothing else to be said. Just giving them the business end.
Love it. So, you know, I definitely concur with that. And it's funny how a couple weeks changed, because before I would have said it would have been the Vikings, but they have clearly taken a huge dip. They've been exposed. So, yeah, 100% in agreement, you know, as far as the Patriots are kind of like doing their thing right about now. Interesting contrast. I think I know where this is going. The worst team in the NFL.
Yes, sir.
Aside, and I guess I'll kick it to JQ, man. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, you already know who it is. I mean, do we have to even say it out loud? I mean, they've had a good run this year. So, you know, don't feel too bad, but just got to be Cleveland. And poor Jamie Collins. Just, I don't know what he was doing in the meeting rooms. I don't know if he was just cussing people out, you know, and just
You get like sitting your key into the corner on punishment, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's just awful. Just awful. I feel so bad for him. I don't know what he did to do that, but that's got to be really rough to go from 7-1 to 0-1 forever. It's Cleveland.
Jake, go ahead, Rob.
He said Jamie Collins at the corner.
Oh, man.
So
what did he do? What did he do in the meeting room? Oh, well,
speaking of that trade, that was very surprising to me because I think Collins is a very solid football player. And I think the problem is I think the Patriots thought he was becoming a liability in pass coverage, which in the past he was able to do both. He was able to rush the passer and drop back in coverage. So some of his coverage skills have gone down a little bit, but still a very surprising move. I still think he's a pretty good football player, but it's definitely Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, y'all got a lot going for you. You got the Indians, you got the Cavs. Well, you know, you just don't have a football team. I guess you got to root for Ohio State in Cleveland.
There it
yes,
is.
They do.
You know what's messed up, too?
It
anytime
is.
No, I got you, bro. Anytime that the Cleveland makes – or excuse me, the Patriots make a trade, are you kind of thinking, like, what's wrong with this trade? Because they don't, like, normally give up players, man. So are you like, woo? Are you like, wait a minute? Because, you know, they weren't like – you know, I still harken back to, like, the Ryan Mallett of the world – Matt Castles. I mean, they got a lot of picks, man. They're picking up players. So are you kind of like, yeah, wait a minute. How come they're trying to get rid of this player? Like whenever Robbie's trying to trade Randy McMichael to us, man. I'm just saying, man, you know. But
Well, I mean, they traded Chandler Jones, and he's still playing very well for Arizona. It's just that it's something that they just seem to know what they're doing out there. That's all I'm saying. They get rid of guys,
man.
You scratch your head sometimes, but they just keep on trucking as the Patriots normally do. And, you know, I say this about Bill Belichick. He'll take his and beat yours. He'll take yours and beat his. So, I mean, they just know what they're doing up there.
Good call. I got to say, man, once again, nailed on the head with Cleveland being the worst team. Obviously, I think the 49ers are – sorry, 49 fans are kind of a second rush too. But Cleveland, man, can you imagine if they, Rob, you mentioned it, if they would have, you know, stuck to the guns and drafted Derek Carr, or if they would have stuck with Carson Wentz. It's just like they just got to get it together, man. So just it's going to be long.
Our Dak
you hope they're on the right
I mean,
track, man. Yeah, they just keep passing quarterbacks, man. That's just insane to me, man. So they better get it right, man, or they are going to be looking at Romo. That's not even a good move because he's going to be hurt too. Let's talk about the best NFL free agent signings so far this season. And I guess I think we're probably going to have different answers, but let's get off with you, JQ.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of one that's really sticking out to me. I don't know. I'll listen to yours. I don't really have one right now.
Okay. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I got to go with Josh Norman of the Redskins. I think overall, defensively, he's helped improve that team. I mean, obviously, they had a tough tie game in London against the Bengals this past weekend. But I think overall, he's really improved that defense, and he's been a big part of it. And so I would have to go with Josh Norman.
I'm not trying to be a homer, but I like the signing of Alex Mack to the Falcons. That was a great move to solidify
our
porous offensive line. No, I try to be fair about it. I still think that's a good move. No, seriously, you know, because him – being signed to the Falcons has you know, definitely helped the offense. We needed a good center. So, I mean, for right now, I think that's probably a pretty good signing for us. And we want to get the best center out there. We got him. And, you know, like I said, I'm not saying that it's going to lead to the Super Bowl or anything like that, but I just think it's a really good signing so far based upon your category. Suck it. All right, gentlemen. Let's talk about the top five teams in college football right now. And just first and foremost, you talk about an epic game between Florida State and Clemson. That was a fantastic game on a list of great games, too. But just great
sure
to see, you know, what's happening with that, too. Dalvin Cook, man, this guy is going to be amazing Sunday. And you know, DeAndre Francois, you can tell he's just a freshman, man. So that's going to be great to see him kind of progress, too. But let's talk about the top five, and I'll start it off with you. Rob, and stay tuned, JQ, to give your top five. We got about 6 minutes left in the show, guys.
Well, I got to go with Alabama, number one. That machine that Nick Saban got going up there is tremendous, of course. John Harbaugh bringing the Michigan program back. Got them at the number two position, Jabril Peppers. I tell you, if you haven't seen this guy play, what a football player. So Michigan at number two spot. Number three, Clemson. I mean, Clemson has played some nail biters, but they keep winning. I mean, they've had some close games with Florida State, Clemson, Auburn, North Carolina State, but they keep on winning. Have them at the number three spot. Washington, probably the first real test this season going on the road against Utah. Tremendous punt return for them to win that game on the road over Utah. And number five, I have Louisville. Of course, Lamar Jackson, incredible. Had them at the number five position.
JQ.
Yeah. I got the same five. I got the same,
really?
Same five. Yeah, I mean, I do, because I just feel like you talk about Louisville having to go into Clemson and losing that game, but they gave Clemson everything they wanted in a tough place to play. That dude, Lamar Jackson, is just special. The step he's taken from last year to this year has just been phenomenal. And even with that loss, I still have them lurking. Nobody really wants to play them. Everybody's waiting on somebody to get them an upset loss to go ahead and knock them out of this conversation. I'm telling you, they won't say it out loud, but if you gave them some truth serum, they would tell you that. They don't want to play that team right now because he's just so dynamic in what he can do. So that's why we'll put them at the five spot. I think the other four, you can quibble. I'm not really overly enamored with Texas A&M. They're good, but I don't know if I can crack my top five. And then my Buckeyes just don't have a vertical passing game. I can't put them in the top five without a vertical passing game. So that's why I say I'm pretty much in agreement with Rob.
Good call. All right, really quickly, let's talk about – we got about 4 minutes. We got to get really through, Rob, really quickly about the bowl predictions, and we'll go over the certain prediction for this week. And go ahead, because I know you want to talk about your team, Alabama at LSU. Go ahead, Rob.
Orange Bowl, Louisville, Wisconsin. Cotton Bowl, Penn State, Western Michigan. Rose Bowl, Ohio State, Utah. Sugar Bowl, Texas A&M, West Virginia. The semifinals and the playoffs, Peach Bowl, Alabama against Washington. Fiesta Bowl, Clemson against Michigan. Championship game, Alabama, Michigan. Alabama by three.
Oh. Wow. JQ.
I was going to switch Alabama and Clemson. I'm still going to roll with Deshaun. I've been going with it. Until they get knocked out, I'm rolling with my Clemson pick. I think they just find a way. And I think that sometimes it's the same as kryptonite, is that mobile quarterback. So I can't really quibble with those.
I agree.
But, yeah, I'm going to go with Clemson.
What did you have Louisville going, Rob? Who's Louisville playing? Do you have them in the Big Bowl?
I have Louisville in the Orange Bowl against Wisconsin.
Good call. All right. Really quick, let's get these predictions. Number one, Alabama at LSU, Rob. Oh, that's Big House.
As much as LSU has improved this season, and they're talking a lot of noise like they're ready for Alabama, I hope they are, but I just can't pick against Alabama, unfortunately.
JQ.
Yeah, that's just crazy talk right now. Until I see it, got to roll with Nick Saban and that machine in Tuscaloosa. I mean, they've garnered that much respect that you just have to give them that.
Yeah, but they're in Baton Rouge, so that's LSU's only hope.
That's crazy talk. Number 10, Nebraska at number 6, Ohio State, JQ.
Come on, man. You already know what this is, OH. We're in Columbus. We finally playing at home at night. You know, they got us with those back-to-back road games at 8 o'clock. So, hopefully, you know, I think the shoe is going to show up and show out. Ohio State needs a big win against a top 10 team, at least nominally ranked top 10, because I'm not really sold on Nebraska. But they got to have a good showing to erase some of those doubts. So I'm going to go with my Buckeyes.
Rob?
I think Ohio State wins as well. I think the game will be really close.
I do too.
All right, Rob.
Unfortunately.
Really quickly, you got a minute to talk about the first football playoff rankings, and we got to wrap up the show. So give a quick minute, let JQ say something, then wrap up the show.
All right, Louisville playoff hopes are looking bleak. I mean, they're going to have to – Clemson will have to have two losses, and I don't see that happening for them to even play in the conference championship game. Obviously, the Big Ten was rated really high. The Big 12 rated extremely low. And Auburn and LSU, believe it or not, are still in this thing if they can somehow beat Alabama. And so, I mean, that's about my take. I still – even though Washington is not in the top four right now, I think they will be. They'll be fine. I mean, the only tough game they have is the Apple Cup against Washington State. Maybe USC is getting better. They still have to play against them.
USC.
But I think Washington will be in it in the end.
That's why I say look out for that game. I think USC has quietly flown on the radar and gotten better, and I think that's really what we're watching. I think Washington may trip up there. I don't think A&M hangs in there. But, yeah, it's really you're right. I don't know if Michigan loses to Ohio State. If they will, and Louisville wins out, would they vault Louisville over them? So that'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But I think a lot of people really expect Lamar Jackson, what he's doing. So, you know, it never stays the same after the first ranking. So we'll see. But at least we're to the rankings now. We're out of that crazy AP in the coaches' poll.
Yep.
30 seconds, Rob. 30 seconds.
I was shocked to see Texas A&M in number four, but, you know, I think everything will play itself out in the end. We'll see you next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. Good night, people.
Ah, go.